quiet needle in the meadow skin, a careful thief with patient time, soft chemistry that's...
Welcome to Base by Base, the paper cast that brings genomics to you, wherever you are. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to follow and rate us in your podcast app. Today we are diving into something really special. Please produce a comprehensive and engaging scientific podcast episode based on the attached paper, Human Epidermal Langerhans Cells Induce Tolerance and Hamper T-Cell Function Upon Tick-Borne Pathogen Transmission by Johanna Strobel, Lisa Kleisel, et al., published on 13 November 2025 in Nature Communications.
It's great to be here. This paper is just a fascinating look at how nature can, well, hack our own biology.
Let's get right into it. I want to start with a scenario that, you know, practically everyone listening has experienced or at least feared. You're hiking, maybe walking through some tall grass, you get home and you find it, a tick, attached to your leg.
It's a universal dread, isn't it? That little black dot.
And usually our concern is immediate and, well, physical. Is the head still in? Is it going to itch? Did I get it all? We tend to view the bite itself as a mechanical act.
Like a tiny pair of jaws breaching the perimeter fence.
Exactly. But what this paper forces us to realize is that the physical pinch is actually the least dangerous part of the whole interaction.
That is such a great way to frame it. The physical breach is just the delivery mechanism.
Because while that tick is feeding, it isn't just taking blood out, it's pumping a complex chemical cocktail in. And I don't just mean the bacteria like the stuff that causes Lyme disease.
Right, not at all.
I'm talking about the saliva itself. It's essentially a pharmacological hacking tool designed to rewire the security system of your skin.
It's biological espionage. I mean, if you think about the immune system as a high security facility, the tick isn't dynamically fighting the guards.
No.
It's impersonating a superior officer.
That's the image I can't get out of my head. Imagine a burglar who doesn't blow up the safe. Instead, he walks up to the head of security, whispers a code word, and convinces the guard to not only unlock the door, but to call the police and report that.
That everything is fine, false alarm.
Right, he gets the guard to do the cover-up for him.
And that analogy gets right to the heart of a massive medical mystery. Why is it so hard for humans to develop immunity to tick-borne diseases like Lyme?
You can just get it again and again.
Exactly. You can get infected, take antibiotics, clear the infection, and then go out next summer and get it all over again.
Your body just refuses to learn the lesson.
Precisely. The immune system usually builds a wanted poster for invaders so it can stop them faster next time. But with tick bites, that memory is often weak or, you know, non-existent.
So this research suggests the reason isn't just that the bacteria are tricky.
And they are. They are very tricky. But it suggests the tick saliva itself has fundamentally brainwashed the skin's first responders before the war even began.
A complete subversion of our defenses. And we have a specific group of people to thank for uncovering this whole mechanism.
We do. Today we're celebrating the work of Johanna Strobel, Lisa Kleisel, Jörg Sterry, and their wider team at the Medical University of Vienna and the CMM Research Center for Molecular Medicine.
They took a problem that has baffled immunologists for decades and just threw the kitchen sink at it. Clinical data, high-tech sequencing, and some really creative tissue models.
And that's actually where we need to pause and talk about context. Because to understand why this paper is such a big deal, we have to look at how we usually study Lyme disease.
Right. Usually when we talk about immunology studies, we are talking about mice.
Almost exclusively. And mice are fantastic for many things. But when it comes to Lyme disease caused by the bacteria, Borrelia burgdorferi mice are actually a pretty poor model for humans.
Because mice are natural reservoirs, right? They carry the bacteria, but don't get the same severe disease we do.
Exactly. Their immune response to Borrelia is fundamentally different. So if you cure Lyme in a mouse or see an immune reaction in a mouse, it doesn't necessarily tell you what's happening in a human hiker's leg.
Which brings us to the sentinels. The stars of today's deep dive are the Langerhans cells.
The LCs, yes. These are the dendritic cells of the epidermis, which is the very outer layer of your skin.
I always picture them as the guards on the castle wall, the very first line of defense. Their job is to stand, watch, spot an invader, grab a piece of it, and then run.
Run to the headquarters to sound the alarm. That's their classical function. They capture the antigen, the piece of the invader, and migrate to the draining lymph nodes.
And there they present that evidence to the T cells and say, "We are under attack. Mobilize the army."
Exactly. But scientists have known for a while that when a tick bites, these Langerhans cells do something strange. They disappear from the bite site.
They vanish.
And for a long time, the assumption was quite dark. We assumed the tick bite was just toxic and was killing them.
Collateral damage.
Or, you know, on the flip side, we assumed they were rushing off to do their job, running to the lymph nodes to start the fight. But nobody knew for sure. It's incredibly difficult to track individual cells in a human patient.
Until this team decided to get creative with their methodology. And this is the part of the paper that really impressed me. They didn't just rely on mice.
No, they went straight to the source.
Human data.
They used a combination of approaches. First, they took biopsies, actual skin punches, from healthy volunteers who had been bitten by ticks within the last week.
Which is great for a snapshot, but it's hard to control, right? You don't know exactly when the tick attached or how long it fed.
Exactly. So they needed a controlled environment. Enter the ex vivo model.
Okay.
They obtained surplus human skin from plastic surgeries.
Tummy tucks, specifically. Abdominoplasties.
It sounds a bit macabre, but it is scientifically gold. This is living, functional human skin with its immune system completely intact. They could take this skin into the lab and inject it with tick salivary gland extract, or SGE.
So they're simulating the chemical component of the bite without the variable of a live bug crawling around.
Correct. And then, and this is the key, they used single-cell RNA sequencing.
The technology that changes everything.
It really does. Instead of grinding up the skin and looking at the average of all the cells, they could look at the genetic diary of every single cell individually.
They could see exactly which genes the Langerhans cells were turning on and which ones they were turning off.
And to close the loop, they didn't just look at the skin. They built immune spheroids, essentially mini lymph nodes in a dish, to see what happened when those skin cells arrived at headquarters.
Wow, so they had the crime scene, the skin and the police station, the lymph node. Okay, let's walk through the findings. Finding number one, the disappearing act.
They confirmed it. After exposure to tick saliva, the Langerhans cells vanished from the epidermis. But the sequencing revealed something crucial.
What was that?
They weren't dying.
They looked for death markers, right? Things like GH2AX.
Yes, markers of DNA damage or apoptosis. And they were absent. These cells were perfectly healthy. They were just leaving voluntarily.
So the tick spit tells them to pack their bags.
It gives them travel orders. The sequencing showed a massive upregulation of genes like CXCR4 and CCR7.
Let's decode that alphabet soup. What are CXCR4 and CCR7?
Think of them as transit passes. CXCR4 allows the cell to navigate through the deeper layer of skin, the dermis. And CCR7 is the key that opens the door to the lymphatic vessels.
It's highway system.
The highway to the lymph node, yes. The tick saliva specifically hands these keys to the Langerhans cells and says, go to the lymph node and go now.
Okay, so the sentinel leaves the wall and goes to headquarters. That sounds helpful. Isn't that what we want? If I'm the commander, I want my scout to come back and tell me what's happening.
You do? But only if the scout is telling you the truth.
Yes.
And this is where the hack comes in. This is finding number two, the reprogramming.
Because when these cells arrive, they aren't screaming, attack.
Far from it. The researchers looked at the attitude of these cells. Normally, if a Langerhans cell encounters a bacteria, say, Staphylococcus aureus, it enters a pro-inflammatory state. It turns on genes like NFKB. It's angry.
Ready for war.
But under the influence of tick spit,
what happens?
They become tolerogenic. The saliva forces them to switch on a completely different set of transcription factors. So basically IDO1 and IRF4.
IDO1 and IRF4. These are the pacifier genes, essentially.
In a way, yes. Under normal circumstances, IDO1 and IRF4 are vital. They prevent your immune system from attacking your own body or overreacting to harmless things like pollen. They are the keep calm and carry on signals.
So the tick is co-opting a safety mechanism. It tricks the immune system into thinking the bite is something harmless that should be ignored.
It creates a false flag operation. Uh-huh. And get this, even when the researchers added Borrelia bacteria, the actual Lyme pathogen, into the mix,
yeah,
the tick saliva was so potent that it overruled the bacteria. The Langerhans cells just ignored the pathogen and kept singing the song of peace.
That is terrifyingly efficient. The bacteria are literally standing right there waving a flag, but the security guard is looking the other way because the burglar told him to.
It gets worse. When these brainwashed Langerhans cells reach the lymph node, or the spheroid model in the lab, they interact with the T cells. This is finding number three, the consequence.
The griefing at headquarters.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, in a fight against bacteria like Borrelia, you want the body to produce Th17 cells.
Th17. These are the special forces.
Yes. They recruit neutrophils, they drive inflammation, they kill bacteria, they are the killers. But the reprogrammed Langerhans cells, they don't ask for Th17s. They induce the formation of regulatory T cells, or Tregs.
And Tregs are the diplomats.
They're the suppressors. Their whole job is to shut down inflammation. So you have a situation where the bacteria are multiplying in the skin, but the immune headquarters is issuing orders to stand down.
It effectively creates an immunosuppressive bubble around the infection site.
And this explains the clinical reality of Lyme disease. The memory that's formed is a memory of tolerance, not a memory of defense.
That's why you can get reinfected.
That is why. Your body remembers the stand down order, not the attack order.
So it's not just that the system failed, it's that the system was actively turned against itself. This fundamentally changes how we have to think about prevention.
It really does. It suggests that our focus on just killing the bacteria might be too narrow. The bacteria are just the passengers.
The tick saliva is the vehicle that gets them past the border guards.
Exactly.
So if we look at the implications here, if the saliva is the key to the heist, can we change the locks?
This is the most exciting part of the discussion section. This research provides a rock-solid foundation for the concept of a tick vaccine.
Wait, we aren't talking about a vaccine against Lyme. We are talking about a vaccine against the tick.
Exactly. Imagine if we could vaccinate you with those specific salivary proteins, maybe targeting the ones that trigger IDO1 or IRF4. Your immune system would then develop antibodies against the saliva itself.
So the moment the tick bites and starts spitting, my body recognizes the hack attempt.
And neutralizes it. The calming signal is blocked. The Langerhans cells don't get brainwashed. They see the bacteria, they stay angry, and they run to the lymph node to demand the Th17 special forces.
You stop the sabotage before it starts.
And the beauty of this approach is that it is pathogen agnostic.
Right, because the tick uses this saliva trick to feed regardless of what diseases it's carrying.
Correct. Whether that tick is carrying Lyme or tick-borne encephalitis or babesiosis or anaplasmosis, they all rely on this immunosuppressive saliva to survive the feeding process. If you block the saliva,
you potentially block the transmission of all of them.
You do.
That is a massive shift. Instead of playing whack-a-mole with every new disease that emerges from the forest, you just take away the mallet.
There are limitations, of course. The study used SGE, the whole extract. It's a soup of hundreds of proteins. We still need to identify the specific molecule responsible for flipping that IDO1 switch.
They mentioned candidates like SALT15, but it's probably a team effort by multiple proteins.
It is. But with mRNA technology, the same tech we used for the COVID vaccines, we can screen these proteins so much faster now. We can theoretically create a vaccine cocktail that targets the most potent immunosuppressants in the spit.
It brings up a vision of the future that is honestly pretty wild. We usually think of tick-proof clothing or tick-proof repellent, but this could lead to a tick-proof human.
A human host, where a tick bite is just a minor annoyance, a mechanical pinch, rather than a gateway for chronic disease. It effectively disarms the vector.
It really highlights why this base-by-base approach matters. If they hadn't looked at the single-cell RNA, if they had just looked at the whole tissue, they might have missed that the LCs were migrating.
They might have missed the IDO1 switch. The granularity of the data is what revealed the mechanism.
And understanding the mechanism is the only way to break the cycle.
So,
to synthesize this for everyone listening, the tick is not a passive syringe. It is an active immunologist. It has evolved a sophisticated chemical weapon that targets the specific command and control centers of our skin, turning our sentinels into traitors to ensure its own survival.
And in doing so, it holds the door wide open for pathogens like Borrelia.
Which leaves us with a final thought to mull over. We've spent the last century of medicine declaring war on germs. We fight bacteria, we fight viruses. But this paper suggests that in the arms race of evolution, the delivery system is just as dangerous as the payload.
It really prompts the question, if we can immunize ourselves against the saliva of a tick, what else could we apply this to? Mosquito saliva for malaria, sandfly saliva for leishmaniasis. It changes the battlefield from the pathogen to the vector.
A shift from fighting the soldiers to blocking the transport ships. It's a brilliant strategy. This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this, follow or subscribe in your podcast app and leave a 5-star rating. If you'd like to support our work, use the donation link in the description. Now, stay with us for an original track created especially for this episode and inspired by the article you've just heard about. Thanks for listening, and join us next time as we explore more science, base by base. Thank you.
quiet needle in the meadow skin. A careful thief with patient time. Soft chemistry that settles in like lullabies without a rhyme. The surface lights begin to shift, the watch is warm, the warning thin, and something in the barrier lifts to let the deeper silence in. Compass turns in hidden hands, a pull beneath the city of veins. Lantern keepers leave their stands, following gentle winding trains. You make the fire forget its name, turn my signal down to slow, teach my guard to hold the flame like it's safer not to glow. On the road where rivers run, where the quiet currents move, you trade the fight for regulation, and the night becomes a proof. In crowded rooms of lymph and light, new voices wait to learn the song, but edges blur, the grip is slight, the sharp replies don't last too long. Storm call fades, the sparks don't rise, the hard lines soften into gray. And steady hands with open eyes keep certain kinds of war at bay. A door that should have shut turns kind, a threshold dressed in velvet tones, threads of restraint are tightly twined around the bones of brittle bones. You make the fire forget its name, turn my signal down to slow, teach my guard to hold the flame like it's safer not to blow. On the road where rivers run, where the quiet currents move, you trade the fight for regulation, and the night becomes a proof. Winter spreads and borders bend and footsteps multiply in grass. How many promises will end as needles learn to let things pass? I feel the hush inside my blood, a mercy with a crooked cause. A tender lock of velvet flood and something brave that gets lost. You make the fire forget its name, but I remember